the prisoner. If we take a prisoner, and such a prisoner who is in long exile, in a long sentence, a long term, a long jail term, and he has spent quite a long time of his life in jail. A long period, a long portion of life in jail. And then after that lengthy period, the prisoner is released from jail. And when he comes back or returns to this dunya, to the normal sort of life in the world, then he is a very different person at that time. His adat, his routine, his manner of life, lifestyle, everything has changed physically. And when he confronts the dunya that he is released into, because for a long time, 20 years, 15 years or 25 years, the prisoner was in jail, and after staying in jail, the prisoner was used to a routine life, a system that was presented to him in jail that he had to conform to. And he didn't have his own personal schedule, no feelings or ambitions that he could pursue, no system that he could pursue. Everything was based upon hukm in the prison. And whatever he was told to do, he had to do. He couldn't sleep to his own timings. He couldn't go anywhere if he wanted to. Nor could he do anything wrong. Nor could he eat whatever he felt like. Whatever times were there, scheduled, he would have to do. Sleeping time, whether he feels sleepy or not, sleep in that time. If he's feeling sleepy but it's time to wake up, then you've got to wake up. Stay awake. Because the order of the jailer is what goes in the jail. And the prisoners have to follow that lifestyle. Now, that same habit so was developed in jail. And when he then returns and is released and returns to the normality in the world, it's difficult to adjust to eat when you want, or, for example, sleep, wake up, work, etc. But it's very difficult to accept normality after such a lengthy period. And time again, the nightmares come back to the mind of that prisoner, that how am I doing this? I shouldn't be doing this. I did this for 10 years or 15, 25 years. I had hukam, I had to do this. And I am not used to this sort of style now of freedom in the world. So life maybe becomes ajeeb and changes and becomes different when he returns to the world. It is difficult, or it was difficult for the prisoner to come back to routine life in the world after being released from the jail, because he was used to the jail, 20 years, 25 years of a routine and a lifestyle in jail. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this dunya for a mu'min, for a believer, is like a jail, like a prison. And what are we? All of us are prisoners. But here, for the mu'min, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that this life in the world is like a jail, like a prisoner. Now, what is a mu'min first, so that we can conform? A mu'min, a believer, is he or she who has sold himself or herself to Allah and accepts from the heart and from the mind, ati Allah wa ati Rasul. And the Quran is defined such a person a mu'min, not just one who believes. But he is a mu'min, or she is a mu'min. Mu'min, sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard, and we accept, and we implement. We obey. So why for the mu'min is the life in this world like a life in a jail? Because for the mu'min, whatever Allah Ta'ala orders, he or she conforms. Not a second passes in a mu'min's life against the desire, the will of Allah. Not a second. Wakes up according to Allah's desire, eats according to Allah's desire, sleeps according to Allah's desire, business runs according to Allah's desire, wife and children interaction according to Allah's desire. Yani, the whole life, every second of life is an implementation of Ati Allah wa Ati Rasul. So who is that person defined as? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the mu'min is a prisoner in the world. A prisoner. Just like that prisoner we mentioned just now. That prisoner, he was the same, wasn't he? Had to conform to a lifestyle and a schedule. So that was the hukum of the jailer. But here for the mu'min, his lifestyle conforms to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. And for the mu'min, Allah ta'ala says that this person is living in a prison. And the rest who just follow their whims and desires, fine, leave them, they're free. to do what they want. There's nothing to account for what they're saying. So a person who is a mu'min, who takes hold of Allah Ta'ala's orders in his life. Allah says 2 o'clock is salah, he wakes up 2 a.m. 3 a.m. is jamaat, he will get up 3 a.m. and go to congregation. Today you're not going to eat or drink anything, he will leave that. You are now going to go on hajj, he will go on hajj. You are going to give zakah, now this is compulsory, you'll give. And how dare you go to this person? Oh, even if you get hundreds of thousands of profit, but he says that Allah has ordered me not to do so, I will not go, even if I get a loss. So if a person doesn't have this commitment with Allah on this level and scale, that person cannot be a mu'min in Allah's sight. We can say that person's a mu'min according to our opinions, he does ibadah, he worships. But Allah Ta'ala, if he has designed someone as a mu'min, then his situation is that for that person, this life is like a prison, and the definition of a prison is the same. Why? Because it, we've been told about a jail, prison, not for this reason that the mu'min, he is in, because he has difficulties in life, he's in a prison, or he has worries, he's in a jail, or because of his poverty, he's living in a jail. No, the mu'min takes enjoyment from issues and problems, because the mu'min knows that the difficulties that I'm experiencing in life, and the sacrifices that I'm making through these difficulties, I'm doing due to Allah's orders. So this is my love and ishq and passion for Allah Ta'ala, that if I'm like this, for example, Zayd, he's like this, my life can pass like Zayd, even easier, what the other person's doing, I could also do this and follow my desire. I can have a big car and 4 houses, I can have everything, but enjoyment and experience and taste comes through what? Subhanallah, that Allah, our Rabb, we love Allah. And whatever Allah Ta'ala says, we say, my Rabb has told me, or explained to me, advised me to do this. So even if I get difficulty in implementing what Allah Ta'ala has advised me, I am feeling enjoyment in doing that. Because it's my controller and master who's told me to do this. So the prisoner is not a prisoner, the mu'min is not a prisoner in this world due to difficulties and problems that he or she experiences. Rather, because this person is obeying Allah Ta'ala's orders, and that's why the person is living in a regulatory sort of environment. That's why the mu'min's life is termed as a prisoner in the jail. So the life is like a prisoner. Why? Because he is living his entire life according to Allah Ta'ala's orders and advice. And then when the mu'min is released, do we want to be released from jail? We are all hopeful that inshallah with Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq we are mu'mins. Will we be released? Yes, a sudden jolt will come and then the ruh will disappear from the body, and then we will be released from this prison and we will die. And then when we go to the next world, and just like the prisoner is released from jail and he was in a routine lifestyle and he didn't accept that he could do anything else or go anywhere else. So in the same way, when a mu'min is released from this world, the jail, and goes to paradise and is sent to paradise, then there the mu'min will be free. And there whose hukum will he follow? But because the mu'min after 60 years and he had to grind his life down in the world and he had to experience difficulties, and then there was not an order of Allah that he didn't follow. He was poverty and no clothes and nothing to eat or drink and difficulties, and there was no ease in his life in the world. When he enters into paradise, the mu'min, it will feel like a strange place and he won't understand where he is. And this is a big point, we need to understand it. The mu'min, he was used to other things. He had muflisi and poverty, or like he was restrained, and every second of his life did not pass without paying attention to Allah, turning to Allah, listening to Allah's orders. The things Allah Ta'ala said you have to do, the faraid, the compulsory prayers, used to run to those prayers. Then he used to leave faraid prayers and go to nafil and pray tahajjud in the night and pray extra voluntary salah, because this came from Allah. And then when he goes to the hereafter, to soon as he enters into paradise, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. Allah says that, lo, those who believe and do good works, theirs are the gardens of paradise for welcome. And the mu'min was used to in the world doing ibadat, amalu salihat, good deeds, and he enters into paradise and says, hey, what's going on here? What game is being played here? He'll be received. Nuzula, he will be welcomed in a great way. Allah says, theirs are the gardens of paradise for welcome. They'll be hosted where? Jannatul Firdaus. Jannatul Firdaus, the gardens of paradise. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. What is Jannatul Firdaus? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith, it is stated that if a Muslim, a mu'min, believer, when he asks for dua, then he should always ask for Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus, because it is the highest and the greatest abode in paradise, and whatever is in Firdaus is not contained in any other level of paradise. So this is the big point. Ask for Firdaus from Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us this. So Allah Ta'ala says that the mu'min, he's released from the jail and he is entering into paradise. Jannatun, Allah says, Jannatul Firdausi Nuzul. And he's not just entering into paradise, rather he'll be welcomed. And who will be the host? Because say for example, a person, if I go as a guest to someone's house, so obviously there's a host when I go as a guest. So who will be the host in paradise? Will the angels be the host? Who will? Allah Ta'ala says, myself, me, I will be the host for you in paradise. And you will eat according to my orders, and you will wear according to my desire. And my according to my desire, you will have alcohol. And according to my preference, you will have your wife. And here in the world, you followed my orders, and now you will get everything that I order in Jannah. Jannatul Firdaus. And the prisoner, what does he know? He's not even used to the paradise and understanding what he's getting. And this is the mu'min, I swear by Allah. He reaches to this maqam. When he starts to count the thawab, he says, forget the thawab. I could do this much tasbih in this time. And he's so used to the life in the world because he's so embroiled in Allah Ta'ala's love and ishq. And he does not think about thawab and reward. He says that I don't want a second to pass in my life that the connection and the link between me and Allah Ta'ala diminishes. Subhanallah. This is how a person strengthens his iman. Where will that person go? Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus. And who will be the host? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will be the reception? That when the mu'min will enter into paradise, his reception will be such that all of the kings, if we collect the kingdoms and the leadership in the world and take all of the marches and conferences and parades and put them together, they cannot reach to the dust of that welcome that that person will attain when he enters into paradise. There's no words to describe the reception and welcome. So the mu'min will enter into paradise. He'll say, is a king about to come? All this fanfare and this welcome and this light. Is a king about to arrive here to welcome somebody? And you'll see the angels and the hoor and the music and the songs of Jannah and the beautiful winds of Jannah. It'll be an amazing scene. People walking around and enjoying themselves like a fun friend in this world. And people, we cannot speak with the words and describe. There'll be like a red carpet welcome and an amazing reception. And he'll be going into paradise. And they'll say to him, the people of paradise, come on, Hazrat, come forward. Come forward and enjoy. He said, who's all of this for? And they will reply to him that this is all for you. This is all for you. This is all for your reward for you. He said, me? Who am I? They'll say, you are the Malik, the owner of this place where you are going. You say, me? How can I be the owner? I cannot believe this. You will not believe it. You'll be shocked. This is the scene of paradise for the mu'min, and how the mu'min won't even expect that he or she will get this. And they'll go forward and he'll sit in the carriage or in the transportation that will be laid out for him, and then he'll be traveling through paradise. Suddenly he'll be a bit so shocked. He'll say, what's this game that's being played out? My salah will become qada. My salah will become delayed. Is it salah time? Is it time for prayer? They say, don't worry about salah. Just go forward. Time hasn't come yet. Go further. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come inside. Then he will be entered into his mansion. Into his mansion. He won't enter into the real mansion, but he will just be like the courtyard of his mansion, and there'll be 70,000 rooms there in the courtyard of his mansion. In the entrance to his palace, decorated rooms. 70,000. He hasn't even entered into his mansion and palace yet. Then he'll think, he still doesn't understand what's going on here. He's still in a trance. In the trance, in the spell. Then what's going on here? What action did I do in the world that Allah Ta'ala is so happy with me? Then he'll suddenly become afraid again. And he'll say, listen, is there a timetable here for the salah, for prayer? Because I think, because he was used to praying in the world, wasn't he? Somebody will say to him that, look, for example, it's Monday today. I used to fast. And is it today? Do I have to fast today? Because he's so used to the ibadat and worshipping Allah and obeying Allah. They'll say, look, there's no timetable for prayer here. There's no timetable here. There's no prayer here. You say, huh? Amazing. No prayer will be observed here. Will there be no asar or maghrib here? The angel will say, no, Hazrat. Don't worry about these things. There's no prayer here. It's all about fasting. If somebody needs to fast, can I fast? I used to fast in the world and I can't eat these things. Give to me in the evening. Iftar time, they say, no, there's no fasting here. There's no fasting here. There's no prayer. He said, this is a weird and wonderful world. What's going on here? And after a little while, he will observe that the hoors in their droves will be coming to him. Imagine, subhanallah, Jannah, his status, the glory. And he will be a respectful man in his whole life. He never saw a ghair mahram, strange woman. He was a woman. He'll put his hand in front. Look, you are ghair mahram women. I can't sit here. They're not lawful for me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa all these women. What's going on here? What's this game being played out of? What's going on? Imagine the scene. And then he'll be informed, the hoors will say to him, that we are your wives, we are your possession, we are not ghair mahram. That he'll say, I didn't get married to you. They said, you did get married to us, you have observed and you gave our mahr, our dowry in the world. Did you not read the hadith that the tahajjud prayer of a mu'min, he's paying the mahr for his hoors in Jannah. From that time we were waiting for you. Alhamdulillah. That he says, are these all my wives? They'll say, yes, these are all your wives. And he'll say, what about my wife I left in the world? And they will say, sabr, be patient. And he'll be even there he'll have to observe sabr. That he is coming to paradise, he'll have to wait for a little while. Then what will happen? You'll say that my wife I left in the world, her teeth were broken, and she just came from the dentist and took the molar teeth out, and she had a stick in her hand, and she was hobbling, and she used to have a blanket around her, and mashallah, she used to work hard in the house, and she had pain, and her hands were burnt, she had cuts and slits on her fingers and her hands due to cooking and doing the housework. And he'll remember his wife, that these hurs, imagine his maqam, and he still remembers his wife from death. And suddenly the noise will start, the fanfare. The princess is coming, the princess is coming, the queen is coming. There'll be such a great carriage-like transportation, and a beautiful woman will be sitting in that carriage. So beautiful that the introduction, the explanation of hur is if the one normal hur shows a beauty from the heavens to the earth, this whole earth would be full of light and sparkle and glow. This is the hur. And his wife who will come, his real wife from the earth will come in paradise, and her beauty will overwhelm and suppress all of the hurs of Jannah. Then he'll look at that woman with a bit of caution, say, this woman, it looks like she looks a bit familiar to me. And she's put some makeup on, and she'll say, I'm your wife, don't you recognize me? Allah ditya, I'm your wife. I'm your wife, Allah Raki. Oh, you Allah Raki, what's happened to you? Where have you come from? Which beauty parlor have you come from just now? And she says, I'm just the same. That look at me. And she's so beautiful. She will have such great beauty, her face and her jalwa and her style, that when he comes in front of his wife, then he will realize what he is himself, because through her transparent beauty and clean and purity beauty, he will see his own reflection. What he thought he was, I just left the world, the jail, and my beard was a bit long and disheveled, and I'm wearing a long dirty kurta, and I've got my imama on, and I'm old and hobbling. When he sees his reflection in the beauty of his wife, he said, this is me, such a handsome and beautiful man, clean shaven, noor on his face, and the attire, 70,000 attire, libas of Jannah on him. And she'll say, this is you, my husband. And then he'll understand, ah, really, this is a different story. Allah is fulfilling his promise. I've really come into paradise. Allahu Akbar. So this is the scene of paradise, which will be real, my friends. What will happen there? That sort of feeling and desire, that yearning for ibadat and fasting, because he was used to it in the world, isn't it? This was his habit. So then the announcement will be made from Allah that you are in paradise. You are in paradise. And your habits, ibadat and worship, and that brought you here, they have brought you here, they have delivered you into paradise. That was a test for you, your ibadah and worship. Allah says, I don't need your worship. I didn't even need your worship before. Oh Muslim, oh mu'min, you mashallah passed that test with greatness. With greatness, with glory, amalu salihat. Imagine the status you obtain. You took all of my ahkams, my orders, you sacrificed your desires, and you accepted my orders. Forget the world now, forget the prayers, and forget the ibadat. Here there's no salah. Subhanallah, there's no fasting in paradise, no hajj in paradise, no zakat, no compulsory charity, no dua, no tabligh, no propagation, nothing. Allah says, no efforts. Allah says, here there's no ibadah, nothing. Here, what do you have to do? You'll say, Allah, what do I do here? Allah will say, enjoy, enjoy. Play and enjoy yourself. Totally eating, drinking, everything, whatever you desire, your passions, your everything, and everything will be according to your taste, and the taste will never end. It will never finish. Subhanallah. My brothers, don't think, oh, just you took a bit of here in the world, you eat a bit of sweet or a bit of enjoyment, and after a few minutes it goes in your stomach and it disappears. Allah says, eat as much as you want in paradise. No, will there be excrement as a result of you eating? No urine is as a result of you drinking. And then he'll say, Allah, what will happen then? Allah will say, just a fragrance will emanate from your body, and your stomach will empty of the burden, the weight, and that is your excreting the food and the urination of your drink. And sleeping, Allah, when do we sleep? Allah says, I gave you sleep in the world because you used to get tired of doing my ibadah, of worshipping. So for that reason, I gave you sleep and rest. Rest for a little while and refresh yourself in the world. But here Allah says that here sleeping is difficult. Here the opposition happens, the flip side. Because every second you will get a new droplet of reward in every second of the paradise life. Allah says, for my mu'min. And here if you sleep, Allah says, then you will lose out a reward that I'm given to you, a ni'mah. So Allah Ta'ala says, Jannah, paradise, is free from sleep and the desire to sleep and tiredness. Allah says, no need for you to sleep in paradise. Total enjoyment. Stay awake, eat and drink and travel and transportation and fly and your hoors and your wives and every form of enjoyment and countless infinite rewards, and nothing will be, you won't be reckoned for any second in paradise. When he hears all of this, then a kalima will come from his mouth. He will recite something. Allah will make him recite this. What will be that kalima? That he will see everything and say, Subhanallah. Aha. And when from his mouth this kalima will emanate, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, at that time he will feel that all the ibadat, all of the worship, everything that Allah Ta'ala gave to him in the world, that this one kalima, Subhanallah, his whole body will experience beautiful taste of enjoyment. He will say, Allah, what have you made me? Just say now. Allah will say, yes, here in paradise, all ibadat that you did, you will get the summary of the ibadat only. There'll be no ibadat in paradise except for dhikr of Allah. Say Subhanallah again. There'll be no ibadat in paradise except dhikr Allah. And this is the statement. Subhanallah is the reflection of his ishq and remembrance of Allah. Allah said, there's no ibadat in paradise. Everything finishes. But the dhikr I gave you in the dunya and the world, that was such an ibadat that it doesn't end in the world on planet earth. Rather, I will keep it, maintain it, and transfer it into paradise. So imagine the rank of dhikr Allah. That action that we do in the world, and it will continue into paradise when no other ibadah will be done. Allah will say that this is such an ibadah that I cannot leave. This is such a beloved action between my servants, my creation, and me. Allah says that it would not end in paradise. But Allah will say that all those other things you used to do in the world, La ilaha illallah, all the kalamat you recited, La ilaha illallah, other kalamat, Allah says that just three kalamat, they will all be condensed into just three kalamat of dhikr in Jannah paradise. And those people who did dhikr, who know, they will realize and appreciate. Allah will say that you did so much dhikr in the world, and I will condense all of the kalamat of my ibadat into three statements in the hereafter in paradise. And in the whole of paradise, because it's diamond, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, forever, ever, لَا يَبْتَغُونَ عَنْهَا, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلَ. Allah will say, wherein they will abide, the people of paradise, with no desire to be removed from thence. لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلَ. Subhanallah, such a place is paradise. Allah Ta'ala will say that here, whatever you do in the paradise, in your life in paradise, just three kalimat you will state and recite. And what will be the first one? Subhanallah. Imagine in paradise the enjoyment of stating Subhanallah. The effect of stating Subhanallah. There'll be the reality of Subhanallah in paradise. You know, here in the world we say Subhanallah. Such a great kalima, Allah Ta'ala gave it to us in this world. In this dunya, such a big reward and a treasure that Allah gave to us. And then he will think, Allah will say, just look there for a second. Look towards hellfire. Jahannam, they'll be screaming, screeching. Allah will say, these are those unfortunate people that the whole life in the planet earth, they didn't have the tawfiq to say the dhikr of Allah, to do the dhikr of Allah. They were lost from Allah's dhikr. They didn't even know about dhikr in the kalima, the statements of recitation of dhikr of Allah didn't even come on their tongues in the world. So what will be the kalimat that the people of paradise will recite? Allah will say that everything in the world that happens in the world of paradise, and thereafter Allah will say, you don't need to recite anything, worship anything. Allah will say that whenever you have a desire, any desire in paradise, because paradise is the place of desires, all you have to say, O person of paradise, is Subhanallah. And the angels will come to you, swaying, toing and fro. And they will come to you, they will beckon to your order. Come on. They will know that you've ordered something. And you won't even have finished saying Subhanallah. And your order at that time will be fulfilled before you finish saying Subhanallah. Your whole life in paradise will be daimi, forever, ever, everlasting. Allah will say that whenever you have a need, a desire, a request, an order, this is such a kalima, Subhanallah. Allah will say that everything will respond to your command in Jannah when you say Subhanallah. Then the second kalima, the second statement, what is that? Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. What is it? Alhamdulillah. Look at this. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. What a great kalima. What a great verse. What a great statement. Allah Ta'ala started the Quran with Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And in paradise we'll see the rewards of Alhamdulillah. Allah says that in paradise the kalima of Alhamdulillah will be recited by the inhabitants of paradise. While they're receiving the greatest ni'mas in paradise, they will continue to say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And their rank will increase and increase. In other words, this kalima, Alhamdulillah, will increase the status and levels and rank of the person of the Jannati in paradise. It will increase his rank. Increase his rank. Soon as he gets something, he will not say anything else. Straight away, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr will emanate from his mouth. He will just say one thing. He will not be able to recite anything apart from these kalimats. Subhanallah when he needs something, Alhamdulillah when he attains something, and Allah, what's your third kalima that the person of paradise will recite? Allahu Akbar,
Allah says in the Quran, read this in the Quran, isn't it? تَحِيَّتْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ السَّلَامِ. Allah says, their salutation on the day when they shall meet Allah will be what? Allahu Akbar. That in Jannah there will be a great social life. Here in the world, in paradise, someone say, oh, come drink with me today, come eat with me today. Such a great social life with the person of paradise have. He won't have time for driving a taxi. The person of paradise, he won't have time to go to work. So much free time in paradise there will be there. Alhamdulillah, no ibadah, no worship, no buying, selling, giving, taking, receiving, going, explaining. Allah says that now the people who have passed away have come to, all the people who have died from now, from before until now. For example, and the people who live in the world who know us, they invite us, please come to my house, uncle, auntie, son, daughter, everyone invites. And everybody will be the owner of his own estate in Jannah in paradise. And this is what you have to see. A person who was given the sight of Jannah. He saw a scene, an ajeeb thing. Subhanallah. He had a close relative who passed away, a woman. And he was a bit sad with her loss. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that man. That Allah ta'ala showed that man that where is that woman who you have the closeness to? She was a relative of his. And what did he see? That a very beautiful scene. He explained a scene, such a scene that we cannot describe in words. A garden he described that we cannot imagine a garden in the world similar to this. He said there was very tall trees, beautiful trees, a beautiful wind and roads. You know, like you see pictures of buggies on beautiful paths laden with flowers, such paths. He said, I saw this in the scene, a beautiful scene I saw, a great scene. He said, I saw that scene. And what did I see? That within, from within those trees and that beautiful garden, that woman who passed away was very close to and I had affection for, and she was a relative. And he saw that from within those trees she had some fruit she was eating and coming out from within those trees in that beautiful garden. He called out that, you, what are you doing here? What's this? And she will laugh and respond that this is my portion in Jannah. Allah has given this to me. And by the way, I've just come here today. And my real house and abode is a bit further on. This is just a part of my estate. She will say, come eat with me. So this is Jannah, paradise. And what will be in paradise? Social life. Today we don't have time for this, do we? And well, and definitely for a mu'min there's no time, is it? Because he gets criticized, he doesn't meet us, he doesn't keep links with us, with the relatives. He's always in the masjid, or doing tasbih, or reading Quran, or doing dhikr, or talawah, or recitation, or going on tabligh. And these mu'mins in the world get criticized. He doesn't meet us, he's got no social life, he's backward, he's not social, and he just cuts himself off from the world. Because he's got the taste of ibadah and worship, and he keeps on hearing the criticism of the people in the world, but he sticks to his schedule and his way of life. So he doesn't get social life in the dunya. So Allah will say that now I will give you social life. How you will live now, I will tell you, Allah will say, in the world, in paradise. So what will he do? That when social life, when he, the third recitation, Allah Ta'ala is tahiyyatum yawma yalqawnahu salam. It will be stated that social life, he will have the great connection of social life in the hereafter in paradise, that when they meet each other, the jannatis, they will have no other statement. What will be the nur of this third kalima? Its status, its glory, its power, its effect that Allah Ta'ala has given it in paradise. And only there in paradise will the people realize that, like when we came into this world, Allah said there will be a dunya, there will be animals, there will be human beings who will kill each other and argue and dispute, and they'll be like gangsters. And they were surprised, the angels, that what kind of world is this? And now we've come to this world, and this is a fact. We see the reality that's unraveling in front of us. So here, when we speak about Jannah and paradise, and when a mu'min will reach to paradise, alhamdulillah, what will happen? He will think that this is totally a fact. It's real. Allah said that there was paradise and I've come here now. And there in paradise, that he will have a need, social life. What will be the need in social life, in the connection with people? So Allah will give them a third kalima. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Aha. And this also, these three kalimat Allah gave us in this world as well. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allah say, tahiyyatuhum yawma yalqawna salam. And the first kalam, the jannatis, the people of paradise, the men and women between themselves, when they meet each other, they will exchange a lot of salam with each other. And what will they get in response to the salam in Jannah? Allah, what will Allah give as a reward for the people of paradise saying salam to each other? So our pious predecessors have commented and explained that, look here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such an ibadah in this world. Ibadah that we will leave everything in the world here. We will leave all the items of the world here. One, we will leave everything, won't we, when we depart from it. So remember, we will leave our ibadat here as well. Our worship actions, we won't get our sujood or prostration or Ramadan or du'as, etc. But one ibadah of Allah is such that there is in this world, and it will transfer to the hereafter. And that is the dhikr of Allah.
The dhikr of Allah. And definitely those people who do dhikr in this world, then their status in the akhirah will be amazing, ajeeb, wonderful. See, that the subhanallah, the person used to saying subhanallah here, then what will he get in the hereafter? Here a lesson we learn, that a person should be regular in these three kalimat in this world. And in this style, in the way we will observe them in paradise. Whenever a person here in the world gets something that he desires, that his heart likes and prefers, and it reaches according to his manners and his condition and his liking, then he shouldn't say anything except for one thing, subhanallah. When you get something, see something, and you like it, make yourself used to this, that you will then start to get the barakat of Jannah in this world. Say subhanallah. Because these are not the kalimat of the world, these are the kalimat of the hereafter. So keep on trying to make yourself regular and habitual in bringing these kalimat into your life in this world. So say subhanallah. And then secondly, alhamdulillah. Make yourself used to saying this. Whenever Allah Ta'ala gives you the tawfiq to do something, anything good, Allah gives you the tawfiq to do, to get, to obtain, say alhamdulillah. Because in reality, that you're saying, Allah, whatever I'm doing now, whatever you've given to me now, alhamdulillah means what? This is not me who's achieved this. Allah, this is your praise that you have given this to me, Allah. You have given this to me. So never a person should be proud. He will never have envy, or he will never be proud of his actions, or show off, or be a haughty after ibadah. When you finish ibadah, when a person, he will never get pride, inshallah, when he keeps on saying alhamdulillah. Because he says, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. It's your praise, otherwise I was not capable of doing this. You are the Malik. You have given to me. You gave me the ability to do dhikr. You gave me the ability to go to your masjid, to your home. So in other words, every second these kalimat we will recite in the world, and we will get the rewards in the hereafter. On every corner, turn of this world, in this life, we will attain the opportunity to recite these kalimat. Every second a mu'min gets the ability and opportunity to do the shukr of Allah. Whenever you get something physical in the world, subhanallah, I've closed my eyes, I don't know, will my eyes open again? And when they open, I see the light, say alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, I've woken up again. Be so used to reciting this kalimat from your tongues that these become a part of our life. Because in Jannah we will get these kalimat, nothing else, just these two kalimat. The whole of paradise, this dhikr of Allah will run continuous. Whoever is in paradise will recite subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Everybody will recite these kalimats and nothing else. So we should try to do this in the world, become habitual of this in the world, so we can get the reward in the hereafter. Become solid and used to saying what? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. And the third point, the third kalimat, social life. The kalimat related to social life. Here we are used to so many things, and we have left this recitation of the kalima of paradise. We have left this kalima, this verse of paradise that we can recite in this world. We have made ourselves used to different ways of reducing. Instead of salam, we say different things to people in the world. So many times, isn't it? Every day, people, so many words and phrases we use to greet each other, but we should see each other and say salam. And shaitan has made us think now that when we say salam, the first person to say salam, he is lower, and the one who gives the response is higher. In other words, what concept do we have here? That if I'm greater, then the person who's less than me, he should, if I'm greater, if I've got power or wealth, I'm rich, then the person who's lower than me, he should say salam to. Or if I'm older, the younger person should say salam. Or the boss, he's got pride, he says the employee should say salam. For example, two people meet, and one person, he has pride in his heart, I'm better off than this person, I've got a better status in the world than him, he should say salam to me. Why should I say salam to him? And in this game, in this misconception, we lose out from this rahmah, this blessing and mercy of salam. We lose out. Remember this point. To this extent, we should remember this point, that musafaha, when we shake hands, that also cannot compare to the verbal introduction and greeting of salam. Musafaha, shaking hands, is not sunnah muakkada, it's not wajib. Listen to this point. But salam, saying salam from the mouth, there are two qualities. Salam, to give salams, is what? Is sunnah muakkada. It is an essential sunnah. The ulama have stated this, the scholars have stated this, and to respond to the salam is wajib, compulsory. Musafa, shaking hands, is not sunnah muqaddah, it's not wajib. But to give salams verbally and to respond is sunnah muqaddah and compulsory. But we don't say salam verbally, but we put our hands out without saying salams. And if a pious elder comes, then we will push and shove and make a line for what? To shake hands with the elder, with the wali, or the sheikh. But this is wrong style. This is the wrong style. This is no link with the deen. It's better, moreover better, and these are the words of Jannah, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. We should try, make effort, that we do those actions that we have to do in Jannah. That we will do in Jannah. Okay, fine, you can shake the hand. Sometimes you shake the hand, fine. But ihtaram, The manners, the adab. And what should we prepare and do more is the salam. You write a letter, you speak to someone, or someone's in front of you and you want to say something to somebody. Brother, I want to speak to you. What kind of way is this to introduce yourself? The Quran tells us every jannati will say salam to the other jannati first. So here, the actions we don't do here in the world, then we can't enter into paradise. We'll fail. If we don't do salam here, if we don't greet each other with salam alaikum, then we won't go into paradise, will we? So here, if we say salam alaikum, he doesn't reply, assalamu alaikum. He doesn't give a response. And here, so much I have seen this and experienced this. So many times we see this in response from people. So many people, few, have I seen people saying assalamu alaikum in the masjid. When I came in the beginning time, initial period when I came, I said, what kind of people are these? I said, assalamu alaikum, they don't reply. And in between each other, very seldom do I see assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. At this point, I've not understood today, what's the reason for this in this society and group of people? So I pointed this out to people. And then I can, now I'm used to this myself. Because where you live in the environment, then that habit develops, doesn't it? So we've also left giving salam. We get used to the environment, so say, then I feel this, yaar, what's going on here? This is a weird habit that's overcome, and that it's not even wajib to shake hands. And to this extent, this is such a big sunnah muakkada to give salam, and to respond is wajib. And the hukum is whether you know somebody or not, whether he's your enemy, your friend, a friend or foe. Doesn't matter if you know that person or you don't know that person. He's from your village, he's not from your village. Nothing. First and foremost, this verbal exchange. Mawlanas, give to Mawlanas, to Qadis, to other people. It's not just that you give to pious people or people of learning. Salam is first and foremost that whoever you see is a believer. First, you should try that you are the first to initiate the salam. And when, that this is the thing here, Allah Ta'ala says, that to go into Jannah, paradise, we have to have these three habits in the world. We recite these three kalimats in the world. How? How will this come? That Allah Ta'ala says, my Nabi announced, my Prophet announced, it was asked, that what is the greatest, who is the best person? Rasulullah SAW said these three things in response. That Allah Ta'ala, as Nabi SAW taught us salam. To give salam to each other is a great action. To exchange greeting, assalam. If you say, rudely, in not a nice way, this is no adab. Salam has to be given with manners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh, assalamu alaikum. In your letters, you should write this. Then when you leave, say assalamu alaikum. And we just emphasize on shaking hands. Our mouths are shut, and we just put a line. Pious elders come, we're shaking hand. But despite this fact that the person in the line is getting trouble, discomfort, we push him and shove him and we pull his hand, his arm, we think this barakah, and this is against the sunnah. And the pious elder, you know, we shake his hand, we don't shake it properly, we don't even say salam properly. The ulama, the scholars have explained this point that I'm explaining to them. So we need to be careful about this point. Alhamdulillah, that the dhikr of Allah is an action of Jannah Paradise. And these are three great kalamat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and assalamu alaikum. And these three we need to bring into our life, inshallah, if we do this. And salam especially give salam openly without hesitation. Don't be embarrassed when you go home. This is the first hukum after going home. Even if in the house there's nobody, say assalamu alaikum loudly. Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will we get for this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then the barakah will come in your rizq, blessings. And there's no one to hear me at home. There's no one at home. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you know that there's not any of your family members at home, but the jinnat are there. There's other forms of creation, or there are jinnat or other people, forms of creation in your home. And if you are a mu'min going home, you say salamu alaikum, you can bring him to the fold of Islam. The shaitan, the evil shaitan will run off, and the good jinnat, they will be there, and they will say to you, wa alaikum salam, and they will feel goodness from you, salam. So when you enter into the house, even if there's nobody there, say assalamu alaikum. But this kalima has come out of our mouths. Our lifestyle has changed so much that this kalima, we don't say salam. I remember when I was a young person, in our home, we were given training. When we came home from the madrasa, first we would say in a loud voice, grandmother, assalamu alaikum, father, assalamu alaikum, whoever from our family was at home, older sister, assalamu alaikum. We were so used to this that until today we have that habit. The same habit. We didn't get food. We didn't get food that time, straight away. But they were the elders, the pious people. They had learned the Quran, the proper manners and the methods. We said, oh, they're backward, they don't know. Oh, what sort of manners is this? What lifestyle is this? What rubbish is this? Ah, we come in the house, ah, two, three swear words and shouting and quarreling. We sit down and all the jinnat come in with us. Until today, my friends, we have fikr, make our children half the Quran. Fine, that's good. But teach our children manners. This wasn't there in the previous generation too much. There wasn't fake. There were basic good things, principles, life, the barakat have run until today. Due to the adab. And today there's too much showing off. Then let the people know in the world, my son is a hafiz. Whether he swears at the parents and he tells off the parents, he doesn't care. and he doesn't know what is salam. Oh, that's it, I'm a hafiz, kitab I've learned. And what is the hifz going to, what use is the hifz there if there are no manners? Teach children manners, respect, adab, manners. From the child, a young age, they should know that you have to say, assalamu alaikum, come to the house, give salam to the elders, and give musafa with the hand, and give salam to the people. Don't wait that the older youngster give salam first, don't wait, and then the answer will come. And this way we teach the children when they come home, if they come home, they don't give salam. Why didn't you give salam? Ammi ji salam, father salam, mother salam, and you didn't say salam to the younger brother. Everyone, don't let them come in the house. Don't let them come in the house. But is there anyone who teaches this? Is this in our culture? Our culture has totally changed. Our lifestyles have changed. So how will we go into paradise? Tell me. How? In Jannah, these three things, note my friends, and remind this to each other. These three notes will run in paradise. These three notes. This currency. How many children have grown up? They become old. They go to work. Somebody's become a doctor, an engineer. We're so happy. Oh, and when tomorrow they will be accounted for. That you didn't even teach your children to say salam until today. Did your son, or did you give salam to your son? Ask in the gathering. How many of your children come and say salam to you? How many? This is a shameful thing. Not even one person will be here whose son, daughter, they come. Do they come to say, father, assalamu alaikum, daddy, assalamu alaikum? Is anybody here? No, nothing. Where have our tazeeb, our culture, our lifestyle, our manners? Such a big action that the connection is in the dunya and the akhirah. It connects the world to the hereafter. That the biggest gift of Jannah, Allah Ta'ala says, Jannatul Firdaus. Jannatul Firdaus, this reward will be given to the Jannati. This reward, the value of this would be so much, the reward will get in the hereafter. We've taken this out of our life. So each of an action has come out of our life in this world. Assalamu alaikum, exchanging salam. Then where will barakah come in our lives? Will Quran bring barakah? Allah Ta'ala says, I know all of this. That if they really have love with my deen, then first and foremost they would grab hold of those actions that I've stressed and emphasized. But for show, they are doing many actions and they're jumping and showing people, ah, oh, look at our children, they're pious and they've recited this and learned this. And in the home, there's no exchange of love and salam. And we're like owls and we don't even know how to speak to each other. No manners and respect. So inshallah, all of these things that we've discussed today, this is the barakah of dhikr with the fadl of Allah. So the objective of explaining, like I promised yesterday to you, that the maqam, the reward of doing dhikr in paradise, don't just think that here in the world, dhikr of Allah is just restrained to the world and we'll get reward and we won't get to anything in thereafter. No, no, no. Dhikr won't even leave us in the hereafter with the fadl of Allah. With the fadl of Allah. We will enjoy life with what? With Allah Ta'ala's dhikr and remembrance, with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's blessings and mercy. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, that what we've heard and the kalamats that we've recited, we do amal and practice on this, and our lives from today, let's correct and improve them. We have no guarantees for tomorrow, and death may come suddenly. So from today, let's make niyyah that Allah, this is something that was lacking in our life. From today, we correct our lives and we bring the totally new and good things into our life, the actions of deen. Then we're not worried if death comes suddenly, because we'll be ready and prepared for a good reckoning and judgment. So everybody make this niyyah, intention that the things that we've discussed today, that practically will bring them into our life. That here in the world, sami'ana wa ata'ana, that we listen, we understand, and we implement. This is what the Quran tells us. Don't live a life of deceit or games. This is not some function or a fun fair or a, what do we call it? A jalsa. This is not a jalsa here. This is not the situation here. Sami'ana wa ata'ana. Allah has sent us to listen. Then the hukum is, you've heard the good things. Allah said, you've heard. Yes, Allah, we've heard. Then wa'ata'ana, now show the implementation. Do amal. And the children will be grown up, say to them with love that don't come into the house until you say salam. Tell them today. Tell your wife, you go out, when you come back, give salam to them. Give salam to each other. The husband, when he goes, comes back, say salam to the family. And make this the environment of the masjid. Every man gives salam to each other. We just sit here, you go next to a person, say assalamu alaikum. He won't even look at you and give an answer. You see this. Just, oh, he'll smile. Or say something else, or start another discussion. You say assalamu alaikum. You sit there, four men sitting. They'll sit there silent. Imagine whose home? It's our home. So Allah Ta'ala, and now we're in the masjid. This is Allah's house, and this is the garden of paradise. And if we show disrespect, then will we be deserved to get into paradise? Allah says, "Tahiyyatuhum wa yawma yalqawnahu salam." They shall meet each other and greet them. What do? I say, assalamu alaikum. And he says, assalamu alaikum. I say, assalamu alaikum three times. If I don't get the answer, I keep saying it. And then he says, wa alaikum assalam. Because he gets used to that, inshallah. Then say, assalamu alaikum again to the person. This is tabligh. Spreading the deen. Is this not tabligh?
propagation. How many times? What a big message you're giving to that person. You're giving him the habit. Say assalamu alaikum to him. Then meet him in the next salah. Say assalamu alaikum again. So to the extent he gets used to saying assalam and replying to the salam. So these are the points. May Allah Ta'ala bring them into our life. Ameen.